Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people I knew on Facebook had said, we are just posting stuff because we find it fun and interesting. It doesn't have to be right. Just because we're wrong doesn't mean you have to tell us that we're wrong and go away with your logic and your correctness and such and stop picking on us, being wrong, being meany. Part of the reason for doing this is also to follow up on the old ideal of sometimes a journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, G+, YouTube, pretty much anywhere under that name. If you have a problem with trying to figure out how to spell it, it's right here on the screen for you. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, to a Roman Catholic family. I was raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, as an unabashed atheist. Joining me tonight, and right now the only co-host, at least for the time being, is Unrenowned Tech. Welcome back, Tech.
Hi, good to be here. I almost wasn't here tonight. Luckily, I found out I still had a leftover kickstart in my fridge, so a little caffeine jolt in a little bit. I was born in Maryland, raised in New York, brought back to Maryland, and I grew up in a mixed religious household that wasn't too stern in their upbringing, which plenty of people probably attribute to my quote-unquote downfall, to the path of reason and logic. And I just want people to understand that something. While I am an atheist, it is not beyond my ability to conceptualize a deity that created everything. But I'm just don't have any proof. I don't have any empirical evidence. And when it comes down to it, I'm willing to side with the scientific method over blind trust. It's just who I am. It's not personal.
Fair enough. Yeah. So tonight is episode number 36, running with the title of We Are Family.
Now, we are family.
That's part of it, and we're not going to sing any more of that so that we don't get a copyright infringement from anybody. The purpose of tonight's show was basically because of something that had happened over on Atheists on Air this past weekend, or this past week. And I'm going to talk about that momentarily, but as I mentioned on a couple of previous episodes, I've been trying to figure out what to call this mic opening remarks and calling it a diatribe or a
Tribble's Troubles.
We had thought about it. I'm giving serious consideration to basically calling it the 5-minute freestyle because that's effectively what it is. I come up with an idea as to what it is that I want to talk about and, Heath.
I would have busted out a beatbox, but I just can't do that. I'm too white.
And I can't say as I blame you one bit.
I mean, look at this. I am neon white, you know?
Well, that's fine. It's what happens. You're also half ginger, so you've got no soul anyway. So
hey, yeah, you're happy about that.
Exactly. But as the case may be, for the time being, like I said, I'm liking the idea of the 5-minute freestyle. We'll kind of guess it from there. So
you do that, I'll catch you.
Sure, you do that. As I've mentioned before, with 5 minutes on the clock, with apologies to Heath, we'll take it from here. One of the things that got this started for this particular week is the idea of feeling alone and isolated because of something that you believe, something that you changed your mind on, something that you already had an idea of in your head. And it isn't necessarily always about God beliefs. It could be about almost anything that people can have an opinion on, whether it be politics, religion, economics. It could be about virtually anything. And that's where part of the problem comes up. For a lot of people, it's hard to try to identify what is opinion and what is, factual. Sometimes. Because we can get, as the human animal, we can get very wrapped up in becoming very emotional, no matter what position we take, whether we're taking it from strictly an ideological position or a position of just feeling, whether we're taking it on surprising oath to ourselves for whatever stupid reason that we held on to for so many years or however much time, to stuff that we read out of a paper that's been published. And that's one of the things that gets me crazy. And it sucks, because it's real easy to get wrapped up into the trappings of, I believe whatever. I believe X. And as we mentioned on last week's show, believe is a bad word sometimes. Not because it's a bad word because you shouldn't believe, but because it can be wrapped up in a whole bunch of other trappings. And when that happens, you can get people who otherwise might like you, might want to be friends, might want to be just about any relation with you, and sometimes they just can't see past that I've got an opinion, you've got an opinion, and it's okay for those to not mesh. Now, we can have family of all descriptions. Sometimes they're biological. Sometimes they're by choice. Sometimes they're by choice that we didn't make. There are some times when you can have family that is blood that really doesn't give two craps about you, but family of your own choosing, people who are friends, who might be even more than friends, who believe in you even more, who will trust in your judgment, who will listen to you, who will believe in you, even if they don't believe what it is that you believe. So part of tonight, we're going to end up talking about that. We're going to go through and we're going to try to figure out, is blood thicker than water? Is blood relation more important than being supportive? Seth Andrews has said on many an occasion, he would trust somebody who was a good friend, a good resource, somebody that he could trust over somebody that just happened to be part of his family tree. And I completely am on board with that. It makes absolutely perfect sense to me. And in all seriousness, he makes a lot of sense on a lot of things. And this is one of the ones that it's hard to deny. How many times have we heard of the expression of the ne'er-do-well insert relation here? Ne'er-do-well brother or piece of the family. It happens. People do that sometimes for whatever failing. And just because they're blood relation doesn't necessarily make them better or worse than anybody else. They're just people that happen to be either your predecessor up the family tree or your descendant down it. I would much rather take my time and trust people that I know that I can trust, no matter what their familial relation with me happens to be. Because when all is said and done, my time is far more valuable with people that I know that I can trust than people that I still have to keep questioning what their motivation is. So now that we've got that, surprisingly enough, we now have a trio. Ladies and gentlemen, to the vlogcast, I would like for you to meet, for the first time, Ashley, and I hope that just calling you by first name is perfectly fine by you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Wonderful. Ashley, first off, I want to thank you very kindly for taking the time out to be with us this evening. You are exactly the reason why I'm doing this particular show, and part of the reason why I started doing these vlogcasts also. So, if you would, you can just go by just your first name, which is perfectly good. If you give us a real quick rundown as to why you ended up calling over to Cash at Atheist on Air, and what's happened for you since the last, 72 hours?
I guess I never was really was really religious. I went to church growing up, and it was never a real big. That was never a big thing for me. My mom took me, and it was just all just really boring. And I quit going, and I never read the Bible until I saw the movie Religious, and it got me to think to questioning things. And so I've been reading on the Bible and reading other books, and that's how I kind of became an atheist. And it wasn't until the last 2 years that I've been an atheist, and I didn't really come out till probably earlier this summer. I came out to my parents, and I started listening to podcasts. I started listening the Thinking Atheist and Thank God I'm Atheist, and that kind of led me on to Atheists on Air. And I've been listening to Cash for about probably 3 weeks, and then I listened to the live one this last Monday, and I was like, you know what? I think I'll call in, and that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah. Now that's kind of where I pick up. Now, if you had been listening, I had called apparently roughly about a half an hour before you did, so I got the chance to talk with him a little bit. But then, because of my schedule, I have a thing that I do on Monday nights, a DJing thing online. So I didn't hear your call until 2 days later when I was picking up the podcast itself and listening at work. Now, part of the information that you had passed along at the time is that you are currently residing in Oklahoma, if I remember correctly. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And please forgive me again. I don't want to be putting words in your mouth. The overall feeling that I got from listening to what you were saying was that you were feeling very isolated, very insulated from the people around you, from part of your family, and feeling just on your own without knowing where you could really just be yourself.
Yeah,
that pretty well?
Yes, exactly. The only people I really I do things with and talk to are my parents. I am an only child, and I don't have a big family. I'm in a very small town in Oklahoma, and the only family I kind of have are up in the Oklahoma City, and we really don't have much to do with them anymore. And yeah, I don't have a lot of friends, so I just, my mom's usually the one I talk to, and it's hard to bring up this stuff because she's very devout Christian. She's proud of being of saying I am a Christian, and she tries her very hardest to live by the rules and everything of that.
Do you mind my asking what denomination in particular?
Methodist. I think that was the last church. We went to the Trinity Church here in town, and then we started going to a little Methodist church about 30 minutes from Ada, and that's the last church we went, so I would probably say Methodist.
Okay. Ted, you know full well you can jump in here anytime, too. You know that,
yeah,
right?
But I didn't listen to the show, so I'm completely in the blind here.
Okay.
See, I'm catching up on Cash's stuff. I'm on, episode 9.
Yeah,
I don't do what the average person is. The average person, when they jump into a podcast, they don't tend to skip the show one and start listening through the very beginning and listen to them as they gradually progress into what they are today. Because a lot of people go, "You got to listen to this podcast; they're fantastic." And I was like, "Yeah, well, they might be fantastic now, but how did they start out? How did they grow? How did they develop?" So, with Seth Andrews, and he's got, I think he's up to what, to 200 now or something like that? I've lost count with Seth. But I'm up to date on Seth, and I got to listen to him not mature as a speaker, but mature as addressing atheist topics. Now I'm listening to Cash start out, and, and it's funny. It's got me laughing. But 3 hours at a clip. Wow. So
yeah.
I can't imagine. It's going to take me a while before I get, no offense, Ashley, but it's going to take me a while before I get caught up to the one that you called in.
That's okay.
But from the little that I've heard so far, I don't think that I have a whole lot that I can relate to personal experience-wise, because despite the things that I have said on Facebook and despite the things that my parents and I have actually talked about and the things that we have spoken about, my family has always been that of no matter what, no matter even if you hate them, if they are your family, you help them when they need help. And there was a point in my family's history where some relatives had a restaurant that was just failing miserably. And the family got together. My understanding was the extended family that was surrounding them at the time could not stand them. But they ended up walking in with all new furniture, recipes. They helped remodel the restaurant and bring in a whole new clientele, new recipes, retrain staff, and made it successful for a time. So while my family has had, in its history, on my mother's side, has had a history of not getting along, you don't kick them when they're down. You lift them back up, and then when they're doing well, then you kick the crap out of them.
Wonderful.
Well, you know, because at that point you can take a beating.
You won't. Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
So, folks who are watching, and I've got at least Bogey.
Sorry.
It's okay. And of course, we've got at least Bogey who's listening and watching right at the moment and chiming in on the Q&A. By the way, thank you very kindly. Appreciate it. Yes. I don't know if you've got it up on your screen in particular, Ashley. Do you mind?
Are you on your phone, Ashley, or are you on a computer?
I'm on my iPad.
That's good enough. That works. All right. What I wanted to say first off was, do you prefer Ashley as opposed to anything else? The reason why I ask is, I've tried to make it a habit of specifically using someone's formal name unless I happen to know them on a personal basis, just as a courtesy thing for me. So do you mind that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bogey has thrown a couple of items our way, and your puppy is having a good time with you.
Yeah, I'm not paying attention to her, so she's...
Of course. Anyway, all right, so Bogey has thrown a couple of items out here, so I'm going to run past you really quickly. I know that you've gotten a lot of feedback and a lot of information out from a bunch of folks over on Cash's show. So I'm wondering, had anyone Bogey is posing this over to you. Had anyone posted over to you OklahomaAtheists.com?
Yes. Okay. I've looked on there. But everything they do and like the meetup groups is like in Oklahoma City, and that's like 2 hours from where I'm at, so.
Okay. Yeah, that was also something that was kind of a question mark. Bogey had asked, and don't say anything on this one just yet, had specifically asked what city in Oklahoma. Now, because of the possibilities of anything, I don't know how specific you'd like to get. If you'd just like to say north, south, east, west, I can talk tonight, of Oklahoma City by 2 hours. I mean, that's rough enough and still close enough. I don't know.
In other words, we don't try to get people to force themselves to identify themselves, where they live, their home address, their home telephone number, and their mother's maiden name.
Okay.
So.
I live about south. I'm about probably an hour from the Texas border.
Okay.
Yeehaw!
Which would explain why you had been saying on Cash's show that you could theoretically hop the border with Texas versus Oklahoma Atheists.
Yes.
Okay, which makes a lot more sense from what was going on at this point.
And from what I've heard from the first few shows with Cash, he likes it when women hop things.
Dude, he is a wild man. This is true.
Despite his age, dude, I hope I'm as lively as he is when I'm his age. That guy's a trip. He is a trip.
This is true.
Hey, Joe.
Joining? Well, we'll see momentarily. Joe is muted out at the moment. Okay. Joe may be joining us momentarily. We're going to see how this plays out. I was expecting he would still be on the road or like dead dog tired. So we'll see what happens. Well, basically, yeah. So if you've had the opportunity of listening to Seth and Atheist, Thank God I'm Atheist, and a couple of the others that chances are we've heard so far, Ashley, I'm hoping that you are, especially after you were on with Cash and your phone call and all, I'm hoping at this point that you're really starting to realize that you're not nearly as isolated as what you thought.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. That there's people like me everywhere, and even worse. I mean, it's not so bad here in Oklahoma. I would think it'd be worse, like, further on down the south, not so much in the Midwest. I mean, there's a church at every corner. I mean, it is the Bible Belt, but I know some people probably have it a lot worse than I do.
Yeah, there is that. It is a tough thing to come out of whatever pigeonhole you happen to have been in, no matter what. And that's why with my openings I was talking about it. It's not necessarily about God positions, but pretty much any position. You change it and suddenly a whole bunch of people are ready to join on one side and a bunch of people ready to tear you down on the other. And it doesn't really much matter where you ended up from.
I would like to, if I may, offer a small piece of advice.
Sure.
There's a mindset that anybody can fall into. Doesn't matter who you are, what you believe. And that is, well, other people have it worse than me. You know, whatever the topic is, it doesn't matter. It could be anywhere from Ebola to bunions. It doesn't matter. We all have a point that when you can empathize with other people, because I have met people like my ex who cannot empathize with other people. So they do not ever have that feeling of, well, other people have it worse than me. That may be true, Ashley, but your experiences are going to be unique to yourself. You're going to have similarities to other people, but don't ever degrade your own feelings, whether it's unintentional or not. Don't ever, you know, dismiss or put aside those feelings that you have. Make sure that you always acknowledge how you feel, what's causing those feelings, and what you can and cannot do to change them. If you keep hitting yourself with the mindset of, well, other people have it worse than me, that is one of the big top signs that you're experiencing depression. And if you're not willing to seek help, then you've got to fight it from within.
Yeah. Okay. Now, before we go any much further.
Now, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But it is a documented one of many possible symptoms. And it's just something to keep in mind. Don't dismiss your feelings. Don't degrade yourself just because somebody has it worse than you. Okay? Don't kick yourself in the teeth and don't kick yourself when you're down. Pick yourself up.
Now, that having been said, wow. Something that Bogey had mentioned in the text chat for us also, and I not even thought about it at the time, the amount of courage that you've had so far for even just picking up the phone to call in Cash and calling into the show, which, let's face it, that takes a lot of guts, man. Well done.
Well, yeah, oh, thank you. It was... I've always been kind of socially isolated and always been more of a loner and do my own thing and not not having a lot of friends and not being a real talkative person, and so it was kind of a big thing.
It was. I mean, it was your opportunity to just put up a flag and just say, "Hey, guys, I'm here. Can you hear me?" And I can well
you got
imagine.
A response.
Yes. Oh my God! Did you ever? You got one specifically from me because I told Cash get me in touch, or actually to have you get my information. I forget how many other folks over on Cash's show. You know, I mean, there's several of us that apparently have glommed onto him because he's fun to be around when he's drunk, which is pretty much which is pretty much what we call Monday night. And
oh, jeez,
it's true. It's true. You know it's true. But from what I heard after the fact, there's a bunch of us, this little web collection of individual podcasters and such, who heard what you said and felt for you and said, you know what? Come on in, man. Water's just fine, and come join the fold and don't be alone anymore.
Yep, a lot of people were very welcoming and just open arms, and it's like, you know, welcome to the club, and you aren't alone, and there are a lot of good people out there.
And that's part of the reason why I wanted to have you, because you are exactly the face of people who need to know that groups, even weird groups like us, are around to
weird?
What, us weird? No,
we're not weird.
We are uniquely gifted. I'm going with that.
Okay, I can work with that. I can work with that.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Ashley, you said?
Yeah, so that works. I like that.
Gifted. White helmet gifted.
Well, hey, I gotta work with whatever works. Okay,
I think
so
I have a white helmet, actually.
You just might.
Yeah,
okay, so like I said, the idea for tonight was that we are family as the catchphrase for it all, which in and of itself, of course, implies that we are inclusive. And we want everybody to be together and to be supportive and such. And so far from what you've seen, just from your, whatever it was, 20 minutes on with Cash, give or take? I mean, I don't remember exactly. It was about that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. That you've gotten a lot of people who heard you and have said, you know, come on down. But now of course comes the flip side of that coin. You said that your mom is, or was at least at last count, basically Methodist, which from what you're describing, then there were a couple of different churches and such that you guys have gone through, different denominations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just different. We went to the Trinity Church when I was growing up, and that was, it's kind of a bigger church. And then we went to a very small Methodist church.
Okay, so you've kind of had that kind of. Well, you from what you had at the time, with the groups that you were with, the church groups at the time, how much socially were you getting out of that, or your family, or even you personally? I came up through Roman Catholicism. So for me, it was just, okay, we all get together at the same time for a big, happy calisthenics meeting, stand up, sit down, kneel down, stand up, sing, and go home. But very little interaction between, you know, between folks other than that. Did you have any kind of like social interaction and such with the groups that you got together with?
Not really. When I did, when we were going to church, we would just go on Sunday morning, and we were probably there about an hour and a half, and that's it. We really didn't do anything outside of it or any other groups that went on.
Okay.
You didn't do any of the social gatherings or any of that stuff?
Well, no, it was like a tiny little church of like less than 30 people.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that definitely qualifies my book as small.
Yeah, they show up on the weekend and compare clothing.
Yeah.
That's one way to look at it, I suppose.
Test.
Okay, Joe.
I heard a test.
Yes. We've got a black screen for you at the moment, Joe, but we do have audio.
Joe, I told you. Yes, we have audio.
I'm coming through. All
right. I told you that shoe polish joke is not funny.
This is not a Power of 10 show yet.
I didn't say any bad words.
This isn't working out well for me because I barely have control over my computer at all.
Okay.
So you have Microsoft installed. Ta-da-da.
No. I mean that my computer is locking up every 3 to 5 seconds and completely unresponsive.
Okay. Do you have a desktop or a laptop?
I'm on my laptop. I am not at home.
Okay. Recommendation, power down the laptop, unplug it, pull the battery out, get a screwdriver.
There is no battery.
Okay, well, anyway, flip it over, get the RAM out, and reseat the RAM back in. It may have come loose. Lots of different things can go wrong if the RAM is even a little bit loose, okay? I'm not saying it's going to fix it, but it's just one of the quick fixes you can try.
Or, of course, don't sweat it. You were not necessarily expected to be here, so, you know, don't worry about it, man. We can have you back next week once you've gotten yourself back in shape again.
Well, for what it's worth, hi, everybody.
Hey, for what it's worth is we have your avatar's picture up on the board so we can see what you look like. And I have to admit, the picture was definitely on one of your better days. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, I heard it.
Says the man with no face, but just some strange growth.
Yeah, well, the beard's taken on a life of its own.
I was talking about the rest of it. I'm pretty sure the beard is the most appealing portion.
I know. I got compliments at the bar the other day from several
women. The only problem with your beard is that there's this strange growth growing right above it.
Yeah, it's called my nose. Remember, I used to be Jewish?
Yes, if there's one thing that you may have noticed about us, Ashley, yes, we do try to stay on topic, and yes, I do try to keep these guys in line. Doesn't always work.
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with it.
But the other thing is,
get back to business.
We can actually make fun of ourselves because we've become comfortable with ourselves. That's something I don't see a lot from some of the religious friends that I have that are still religious. Is I've noticed that a lot of them still are not comfortable with themselves, with who they are, with their own very own idiosyncrasies, their own little flaws, as well as the things that make them awesome. You know, it all adds up. But I see so many of them still in denial about certain little aspects of their life. It's just like, you know, if you would acknowledge that, you would be probably 10 times happier than you are even now. But there's some of those things are actually repressed through religion.
Yeah. And you know what, come to think of it, I completely just realized that, didn't get the opportunity of catching you ahead of time, by the way, let me do the proper introductions all the way around the board. Ashley, I am known as Shuji. A pleasure.
Oh, nice to meet you.
See, I, you know, you came in while I was in the middle of doing my opening spiel, and I completely got sidetracked with the whole thing. By the way, Unrenown Tech.
Yes, I am Unrenown Tech. I'm kind of the I can be the troll or I can be the straight man. Sometimes I tend to do both at the same time. I'm still trying to figure out how, but it just comes naturally.
And the guy that's trying to join us at the moment is Joseph. So that's Ashley, by the way.
Hi, Ashley. My name's Joseph. My name's Joseph. I'm the weirdo former Catholic from Chicago who spent 8 years in the military and learned quite quickly that the idea of there being no atheists in foxholes is complete bullshit. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was the foxhole that made me one.
Also, aren't you a card-carrying member of the NRA?
Card, certification, all of it.
Yeah. He's our resident arsenal specialist. And I'm actually quite happy that we have one. I've learned much from him in, like, just on that one episode that I didn't know.
So, on the bright side of it all, with just one phone call, you now have everything that you need to survive the coming zombie apocalypse. Congratulations. And you didn't even have to do much of anything.
Oh, yay. Oh, that's just such a relief. Oh, I was so worried.
Yeah, you just got to get over to the East Coast for the protection.
Sarcasm.
Fine. Just don't pick up any hitchhikers that are bleeding.
So the like I was saying, the downside of the whole thing, of course, is that unfortunately, when you change your mind on a topic, when you change your position, as 75, give or take, percent of the population of the United States is religious one way or another, which means that it is far more likely for somebody to change out from one religion to another than it is for, well, for one of us to change over to the other side, mm-hmm. so to speak. So you had the opportunity of coming out and making your own way, paving your own streets. And how, with whatever you're willing to share with everybody, reminding you that anything that goes out on the internet is going to stay out there on the internet. For you, Ashley, what was the blowback for you when you started to say, hey, I'm really not on board with all this anymore?
My dad was like, well, so you don't believe in God? And I said, no, there's not enough evidence to believe in such a thing. And my dad's not religious. I've never seen him go to church except for a funeral and a concert. So I didn't think, I didn't understand why he thought it was such a big deal. And it really wasn't, I mean, I haven't, like, I try not to put so much out on Facebook and everything because of where everybody on my friends list, well, not now that I have so many people who are atheists on my friends list, but before, everybody was Christian. A couple of family members, people I know in town, they're all Christian, and I tried not to, like, just blurt out there because I couldn't, you know, maybe when I go try to get a job or something, like, they won't hire me, or I don't want my mom to look bad in town. So,
you're trying to stay under the radar.
Yeah. Yeah, for now.
You know, and honestly, there's two kinds of people out there in two primary kinds of outspoken advocates for atheists. The ones that are saying, listen, you need to stand up and you need to say you're an atheist no matter what. And it's like, okay, I understand where that mentality is coming from, but while we do need all the voices to be heard that can be heard, there is a time and a place for everything. And even I'm still learning when I should keep my mouth shut and when I shouldn't, because, well, as we all know on this show, I have a hard time shutting up. But when you're in a town or a city and your livelihood, you know, your roof over your head, your meal in your mouth, your mortgage payments all depend on you keeping your mouth shut, at least until you can situate yourself financially so that you can either relocate or it doesn't matter anymore. It's okay to keep a low profile. You know, it's okay to go, I don't really have a religion right now. You know, I'm just kind of taking a little secular approach to life at this time, you know, and they kind of brush it off because you're not saying, I don't believe in God or I'm an atheist, you know, low profile stuff. It don't feel bad about it. If it's what you need to do to be able to get through this portion in your life at this time, do not feel bad about it. And don't let anyone tell you, you should feel bad about it.
Yeah, like a part of me is, you know, I just turned 25, and part of me wants to be me and not be ashamed and quit hiding who I am, because mm-hmm. there's nothing to be shameful about what I like and believe in or not believe in. And yep. Another part of me is like, well, if I want things to go a little more smoothly where I live, it might be just for now good to have a low profile and not be so vocal.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there are easy ways of getting around the question marks from folks. For instance, if somebody ended up asking, well, as we've heard on several occasions with from Seth and from Frank and Dan, it's one of the common questions is, oh, what church do you go to? I mean, you've heard them talk about that on several occasions, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. The easiest, the simplest way of answering without answering and flying under the radar is, you know what? I don't talk about my religion because it's my thing, and I don't really want to involve anybody else in my thing unless they're close with me. It's a personal thing. I just don't really talk about it. I just don't like to talk about it.
The other thing is you can also say, you know, at this time, I'm just very non-denominational, and I'm taking things one step at a time.
Yeah, I'm trying to find what's best for me or... what works or what makes me feel involved.
Yeah, I can well imagine safe would also be one of those things that you'd be looking at. It's what you're running through is unfortunately a very unhappy tightrope. In a lot of ways, and we've heard several stories from different areas where, you know, you gotta, quote unquote, you gotta toe the party line, so to speak, if you don't want to be picked on, which, let's face it, it sucks. There's no two ways about it. But what you've been doing so far sounds like you've been doing a decent job. I mean, you're out from what you're saying. You're doing your thing. You're finding your way. You found the courage enough to reach out. And holy smoke, getting caught in the undertow of everybody else grabbing you back and saying, yep, you're not going anywhere. You're one of us now. But from what you're saying, though, family-wise... Being an only child, I wasn't, but my daughter is. And unfortunately, we also, you know, I don't know how much of my story you'd ever found out about, but we lost my wife 9.5 years ago. She was 2.5 at the time to cancer. So for my little one, she's an only. She's been brought up secular, non-religious, learning as much as I can teach her about. She loves stories about various mythologies, the Percy Jackson books in particular right now. So, you know, the whole idea of the Greek and Roman myths is all kinds of fun for her.
Yeah, I grew up, I really like Egyptian mythology. And so I've always loved the stories of Osiris and Isis, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, seeing all the intersecting points of stories and the myths back and forth.
Oh, I was just thinking about all the my huge collection of Choose Your Own Adventure books I still have from my childhood that I've just gotten my son started on. Dude, I still have them. They're on the shelf over there in the corner. Over 100 of these things.
Oh, I remember them. I remember them. Yeah. I had some too. But yeah.
So when you started talking about intersection and crossing points in it, it just, my mind went.
I gotcha. Okay, so now that you've had the chance of dealing with the hardest part, arguably, which is family, and trying to have to deal with all of that, which I sympathize for you. I don't understand what that is all like. For me, it was never an issue like that. So I don't know all of what it is that you're having to go through. So I will not talk on that angle, not with anything that I can go by. But you've had to deal with that so far. At this point, how long has it been since you said you're no longer believing? And at this point, are you seeing any pathway for understanding? I don't know if the word reconciliation is the right word for it, but just acceptance, I guess, is a good way to put it.
Well, my mom's known for about a year, and I just, like, kind of came out to my dad this last summer. So we kind of talk about it, and she keeps telling me she doesn't really, she's really sad that she keeps praying that I will come back to the faith, that she's afraid for my soul. And she wants everybody to go to heaven. And, I mean, that bothers me. And I know our relationship is kind of on the rocks with that. And I think my mom's a very accepting person. And I know she loves me. I asked her. I did ask her the moral question that if God told her to, that she had to just stab me, just kill me. And she said, no, I couldn't do it, even if it was God. I just couldn't. I couldn't kill anybody, and I certainly could not kill my own child.
The trial of Job.
Excuse me? What?
I said the trial of Job.
Yes.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate test to see how crazy your parents might or might not be.
And I'm glad my mom said she wouldn't kill me. And it made me, I'm glad that she has morals, and I think she's a better person. I told her, you're a better person without the Bible, without God, and you're a much more moral person than God. And I'm like, you don't need that. And she gets upset, and so I try not to bring it up too much. But it is a big part of my life. I read a lot of books. I go on the internet a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts. But I can't share that part of my life with anybody around me. And then I have to keep silent about when I go out in public or try not to bring it up or...
Or stir up the boat. You know, tip the boat is the word I'm looking
for. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat.
You do realize, of course, Tech, that she wasn't even born when that song came out. You do realize that, right?
Dude, at this point, you know my mind operates on music.
I know.
I make musical correlations between most of the world around me. If it's not math, it's music, you know?
I know.
Music is math anyway, so.
I know. You and you've heard me do some of my DJ shows. You know full well I do the same damn thing.
A whole new world.
Not going there. Okay, so.
At least I was alive when that came out.
That's a good point, yes. Okay, so a couple of things Bogey's put over here. And dude, you're killing me on the Q&A. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Bogey's blowing it up, and he's got some good points.
Yes.
Is it a he or she?
Bogey's a guy.
Bogey's a guy. Okay.
At least
I wasn't sure. Could have been a handle.
Unless I'm wrong, in which case I owe you a big apology. I'm sorry. You can be out for the atheists around you and not to anyone else. They will keep your secret, which is true. It is not uncommon for groups that get together to know full well, hey, you know, just don't be waving giant neon yellow flags around me or anything like that. Your biggest problem, however, as you were saying, Ashley, is that you don't really have a group that's close enough for you to get together with at this time, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that's something that will probably change in the near future. And near may not necessarily be that close. I would expect that as the word continues to get out, that various groups will end up popping up in the areas. So you may need to, if you so desire to, keep a lookout on the Oklahoma Atheists group and the meetups. Was it meetup.com? I think it is.
Yes.
Yes. And just every once in a while check around to see, or who knows, just put your name out there. At this point, I'm pretty sure some people are going to end up looking for you. I mean, geez, me, shit, case in point right here.
Oh, and by the way, a quick interruption. I just found a picture of Bogey, and Bogey is a guy, and Bogey has a beard.
Well, isn't that special?
Isn't that special? Yes, church lady. Yes, it is.
Yes, Bogey's also telling you, find newer music, don't rock the boat, is really old stuff. Dude, you have no idea.
You know
idea.
What, it doesn't matter if it's old, it's still good.
This is true.
Besides, I listen to anything from the classics all the way up to rock and roll, baby!
There's that.
Okay.
Yes, all right. Mentioning, only step out into the general public if there are no measurable negative consequences. And even then, you can be in the closet for work, which that is exceptionally good advice. It's really hard to try and figure out where that line is. But you mentioned something a little while ago that has kind of caught in my head for the last couple of minutes. You were saying earlier, Ashley, about your Facebook presence and being a little concerned about work and friends and intersection of such. And now you've gotten a lot of attention from the various atheistic sides, skeptical sides. Has any of that intersected together your Facebook stuff and the atheist side yet? And is this something that you're concerned about in intersection happening? Like stuffing paste posted to your time wall or anything like that.
I don't know. I guess at this point I thought about getting another, making another Facebook and just doing the atheist stuff on there and But I thought that maybe that'd be too much just to have two Facebooks. But
you could always use a Google Plus account for that.
That's true. I thought about getting another Twitter, but I'm not really big on Twitter.
Tweet-only?
Yes.
Well, I was about to say, I noticed that I got a record earlier today that said, hey, first tweet, call it out, let her know that, you know, say hi. It's like, okay, no, Twitter, leave me alone. Let her do her thing. But, you know, that's just me. Which, by the way, in that case, congratulations on your first official tweet there. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know what to post and stuff. I'm not a talkative person, and I'm not a kind of in-your-face person. And a lot, I think, I have comments about things, but I don't know. I just don't feel like we live in such a social media is so important and so big in our lives, and everybody posts everything about everything. And I have an opinion, but I don't think most of the time that it's not important enough or relevant to voice everything.
Well, I work as a government contractor, and if you don't mind, I can give you some unsolicited advice as okay. relates to the career path, not as an atheist, not as a Christian, not as a Jew, not as any of that, but as in terms of career field and how it can possibly, I'm not saying that it will, but how it can affect you. We have seminars that go on actually at my company that happen every once in a while. They're usually a nice little video that you can pop up on your laptop at work and watch it for half an hour and bill some contract or whatever for it. But what it tends to talk about is it talks about how anything you post online, regardless of security settings, will eventually find its way out into the general public. And depending on what it is, it can be used against you. I have my Facebook settings set to the toughest, strictest settings possible. Now, despite popular belief, my Facebook page does not correlate to my G Plus account. People who know me can make a connection, but people who don't probably wouldn't be able to unless they were really, really interested in finding out who I was. And then they would have to do image search, name searches, and all sorts of things. And it would take them a little time, but it could be done. If a company is interviewing you for a position, many companies will actually ask now whether or not you have a Facebook page, a G Plus page, whether you have Twitter, LinkedIn, any of those things. And
can they legally ask for that?
They cannot ask you for your password to your accounts. That's illegal. But what they can do is ask if you have one.
Oh, wow. You don't have to answer that.
You really don't. You don't have to answer that yes, you have one, or yes, or no, that you don't. But when you start getting into things like government contracting and whatnot, like the company that I work for won't ask you if you have one, but they will tell you that if you have one, you better be careful what you post.
Yeah.
Because if it pertains to the company and you do not work for the PR department, you're going to get in trouble if it comes out into the public limelight. And I will admit that my boss actually has seen my Facebook page. I'm not friends with him, but he's seen it, and he knows what's publicly available, and that is extremely, extremely small pickings that's publicly available. But he also knows I have a Google Plus account. He is friends with me on my Google Plus account. He knows that I'm active in this room. But he also knows that I will not name my company. I will not name the job that I do in a descriptive enough manner to actually identify either myself or the company or the work that I do. You know, the detail stuff that could get out that, because especially, you know, things like Edward Snowden and all that fun stuff. if you want your Facebook page as a social page, you know, lock down the settings to where you're comfortable and do the little things like, oh, you know, that was a funny joke, or this was a cute cat picture, or I saw this video of this guy falling off a skateboard and I thought it was funny and I wanted to share it with you guys. But if you want to do something in an activist sense where you want your voice to be heard, you want your to stand up and speak and shout, create a second account with maybe a different service, like, you know, use your Facebook for your fun stuff, and maybe your Google Plus for your serious stuff, and create a handle for yourself. I know Google Plus speaks out about, sorry, I know I'm on Google Plus right now, speaks out about fake names and things like that. But, you know, you could use pseudonyms. You can figure something out and then not link, you know, whenever you see something cool on Google Plus that relates to atheism or anything that, don't post it on your Facebook account and vice versa. Don't, in fact, actually have the two accounts completely ignore each other. You know, don't ever correlate the two together. Don't reference them one in the other. And that way, if somebody ever asks, it's like, oh, do you have multimedia accounts? You can say, I'm sorry, but at this time, I choose to keep that the answer to that question private. And they say, well, you know, we ask not because we're asking you for to give us access, but we do have sensitive information, and for those who have them, we watch them to see if anybody is leaking company-sensitive data, not to judge you on your posts. At that point, you know, if your profile is public, legally, they can look at them if they want. They just don't have, you just don't have to give them access. If your accounts are all private, let them look. They're not going to see anything because they're not added, they're not invited, and they're set to private.
Yeah, everything on my profile is pretty much private, and I don't even put on for even my friends that I'm, you know, that I'm atheist and Democrat, and I don't. Not even for my friends.
Yeah, my Facebook page has that I live in Maryland, that I was born in October, that I've been to school, but I'm not saying which ones, you know. It has my first name and my last name, but it's really funny what happens when the results that come up when you search for it, because, well, my name's quite famous in the movie industry, so my results don't show up. I'm one of those lucky ones.
Yeah, you think you're lucky. My mother's name, if you were to try to Google it, comes up with a fairly famous gentleman, if you will, from the mafia way back when. But
wow. Yeah. So the point is you can create an active atheist page, if you will, on either Facebook or Google+. Just remember, don't get them mixed up. And once you get used to that, the juggling aspect between the two becomes really easy. Yep. That's it. It just, that's the only advice I have to give.
There you go. Folks, thank you for watching us this evening. You are watching Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. We've got about roughly half an hour to go, or give or take. If you're interested in chiming in, please, by all means, please take advantage of the question and answer system here on the Google Hangout. We've got that running, so you can ask questions, give your advice, or whatever the case may be. And if you'd like to send in a voicemail, or if you'd like to send in a text message on your phone and such, we've got the number right here on the screen for you. Number is 959-HCTV-554. And if you want to send a text message in, I can go ahead and get that. I can't accept any voice calls at this time, but hopefully in the near future we'll be able to integrate that as soon as Google gets off their freaking butts about that. But hey, you know, that's okay. We'll get around to that. What we're talking about this evening is the idea of what happens with friends, family, the people who are close to us when we change our minds on various pieces. And it's not the easiest thing in the world, because there are a lot of different levels of what you have to work towards and work through, which is part of what we've been ending up talking about at this point. One of the other big things that I wanted to get your perspective on at this point, Ashley, is that you are young, fortunately for you, You are in a really, really good demographic at this point. You are of the... Oh, shoot, I'm trying to remember. If I remember right, the current demographic was a third? I believe it's a third of those under 30 years of age are currently in the none category, the no affiliation. I'm trying to remember. I think it was Thank God I'm Atheist. I heard that one on something to that effect.
And believe it or not, the Republicans are helping that number go up.
Slowly, not quickly enough.
More than anything, the not the true Tea Partiers, but what the politicians have called. Because yeah, I remember those days for you.
Well, one of the best things that they can do right now is just keep doing what they're doing, which is just, you know, die off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
But the whole anti-women group, the whole anti-homosexual group in the political arena, and the ones doing it in the name of religion, they're the ones who are actually creating more and more agnostic people. Okay, they're forcing people who thought they were agnostic to realize that they were, in many cases, actually agnostic, and a lot of people who were questioning it's a revulsion that's going through them. It's what's being done in the name of the religion, and some of them actually look close at what the religion says and goes, wow, that's actually in there, and look what else it says, and it's like, wow, this sucks. You know, I don't want this. And so they step away, you know, yeah. Especially when they have friends that they grew up with. They went to elementary school, junior high school, college, who are gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever the case might be, you know. And they're like, no, I don't want my friends to suffer like this, you know.
Yeah, and they're realizing more and more that they are not nearly as batshit insane as these people who are old and look like they should be wrapped up in mummy swaddling all the rest of the year, not just October and whatnot. I don't know how bad off it has been for you. Well, I mean, let's face it, you are in a younger demographic at this point. You've gone through school, you've been around people who are minimally 70%+ religious, from what you've been saying so far, actually. For the folks who are roughly your age, the people that you came through school with, whether high school, college, however much you've gone through, has it still been really, really annoying on that front too?
Yeah, I hung out with some people that I grew, a couple people I grew up with, and they're both going to nursing school, and we were talking, and they were making a big deal about, oh, God made so many, God made all this miraculous stuff, all this stuff, and the world is so beautiful because of God, and I don't chime in because, and I have to hold my tongue, which is hard, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know where you're coming on that one. If I'm not mistaken, if you've listened to all the stuff that Seth has put out from Thinking Atheist, you're probably thinking the same things that I am. The way that he gets on his high horse, and if you believe that God has made everything so beautiful for you with all of your medicine and technology, why don't you thank him also for the cancer that helps you to keep your job and such like that, right?
Yeah. If children get cancer, if there is a God who has made cancer and have given it to children, he's not a good God. He's an asshole. That kids die so young and so horribly, and
I'm totally on board with you. When my wife was going through radiation treatments, she was between 32 and 35 at the time. Well, she didn't quite make it to 35, but there was another kid, like 7, 8 years old, 9 years old maybe, who was also bald as all get out, no eyebrows because of chemo treatment and whatnot, and there for radiation and trying hard and whatnot. And I'm you and me, man, we're totally on board on this. I mean, we all are. That it's just so heinous to see.
And I've told my mom, I'm like, you know, even if your God, if the God of the Bible exists, he is no God to be worshipped. And if you are a humane person, if you have any, you are a good person, you wouldn't worship that.
No.
At all.
No.
He's not anything worth to worship. Or they say God is good, God is love. Well, if you have to fear me into loving you, or the penalty of being damned in hellfire, you don't deserve my love or my loyalty or my devotion at all.
Yeah, Tech, remind me, the term I'm looking for, it's Stockholm Syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome is when you start agreeing with your captors and you start seeing it from their point of view. You basically, it becomes a slave mentality, and religions are very good at creating, not all religions, but the prominent ones, the three Judeo-Christian, the Abrahamic based religions of the world, which would be, for those who are not familiar with the terms I just threw out there, Judaism, or being Jewish, whatever variation of Catholicism or Christianity you want to call it, and as well as Islam, which if you follow Islam, that makes you a Muslim. Okay? And they all basically have the same God. They have different concepts of saviors, like Islam has Abraham as their savior. Christianity has Jesus as their savior. In Judaism, though, they don't need a third-party intermediary. They can talk right to the big guy themselves.
Which happens. There is also something that Bogey put out.
But you still need to sacrifice a chicken.
Well, that's and you can't sit next to women on the flight to Israel, but that's a whole other issue for later. We'll talk.
And you still have to mutilate your penis too.
I don't know.
Hey, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, so to speak. Ashley, congratulations. You don't have a penis. You don't have to do that. Congratulations.
No, but according to some other ones, she.
No. We're not. No. There's only so much I can do. And by the way, yes, tonight I have been drinking wine, and there's a reason why. I'll explain in a couple moments. Before we get out of here, I'll explain it. Bogey had put something out there that, Ashley, you're going to have a good smile at this one, and I want to hear you explain it. Bogey had put out here, you can go to a convention near you, pick a cheap one, you will be surprised. What had happened while you were on the phone with Cash about exactly that?
Well, actually, there's one coming up later this month that's in a city that's like 2 hours away from here that I plan to go with somebody. And it's a one that Seth Andrews and Aaron Raw is going to be at. So hopefully he'll sign my book. Seth will sign my book, and I'll get to hear them. And it's only going to cost, I think, $10.
Wow.
Yes.
I wish I was out in the Midwest. I would love to be able to go. I can't afford it. I'm in a different financial boat. Just because of my own mistakes and my own lack of listening to the people around me, who actually was more of aware of a situation that I was in than I was. And, to be able – I mean, I love listening to Seth's podcast. I love watching some of Aaron Ra's videos. And to be able to sit there and actually meet them, shake their hands, thank them for the work that they do, and you know, that would be fantastic.
Very much so.
I mean, the only positive I've had so far living on the East Coast is I got to shake hands with Robert Englund. Freddy Krueger?
Robert Englund, yes.
Yeah.
Now, as I recall, before you got off the phone with Cash at the time, didn't he mention something about footing the bill for you to go to some con somewhere?
Yeah, it was Free Thought, Oklahoma, I think the last convention. It was in August, so it'll probably be August of next year. Yeah, he said he would foot the bill, the hotel, and the the price of admission.
Yeah, what he probably didn't tell you though is that you'll be sharing the hotel room with him, and it's a single bed.
I don't think that he would do. No, yeah, actually, he probably would. Just a little.
It would depend on how drunk he was to see if he could get away with it. He probably wouldn't try to enforce it. He'd just be like, "Can I get away with it?
No,
it's legal."
Nah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
No,
his
he wouldn't
his wife
that.
Would. His wife would do.
His
bad
wife would be there with him.
I don't think he wants to be divorced a third time.
No, for us.
No, actually, if he even tried, it would be in jest only. If I had a rapport with somebody, I might make that joke, but I would definitely not try to do it.
Yeah, and Bogey, I do see the link that you posted for me. For us in the Q&A. Would you give me a quick heads up as to what that is before I go clicking on stuff? I don't want to blind click on a link. You can well imagine, in case it because I'm the one handling the video right now.
I've got a lockdown that I keep on an isolated drive here, so I'm just booting it up now.
Okay. All right, we'll see what's going on with that. The piece that I wanted to also let you know, and I'm assuming that you do still have video for me, yes? I'm sorry, Ashley.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I wanted to make sure, because right now we don't have video feed from you, which is okay, because it's staying stable. It works out just fine. What I've been drinking tonight is look at the... I don't normally do this, but for tonight I'm doing because one of the things that my wife and I had done a long time ago was we'd gone to a wine tasting and we found a particular wine that we absolutely adored from a vineyard right near the college where we both attended and met. And this is the stuff I'm not going to go ahead and read off the name vocally so that, you know, I'm not actually endorsing it or anything, but it's very nice artwork that they have on the label if anybody wanted to try to figure out which one it is. But anyway, so yeah, the plug without a plug. Every year on the day that we met, I go back to the college. I leave flowers in the band room where we first saw each other. I go to the vineyard. I get another case of wine. And because this was kind of an opportunity for us to enjoy having you really, you know, be here on your own in a way of really being able to say, yes, I was actually part of it all. I've got a taste for it now and I can be who I am and I can feel happy and proud and I've got the fire in my belly, whatever the stupid thing is going to come out of your mouth later. I'm half drunk right now, so whatever.
Okay.
I specifically wanted to use this cup, this mug, because of the symbology.
One treble, one cup.
Don't even start there. Because...
Well, tribbles don't poop, so...
Dragons are typically viewed in either one of two ways. As creatures that need to be put down, which is traditionally how they've been viewed in Western culture, European culture and such. I actually did some investigative work on dragons a while ago. I had tried to write a short fiction story and I learned a whole bunch of different ones. But there is also a second one with the Asiatic dragons, China, Japan, where they are godlings. They're very powerful. They don't fly by having wings. They fly by aligning their own magnetic resonance with the lines of magnetism built into the Earth itself and basically surf.
They're Magneto.
In another way of looking at it, sure. But I am bestowing upon you because I can, as part of the furry fandom. Don't worry about it. I promise you, I'm not going to convert you.
Don't worry, furry is not contagious.
I am unofficially branding you as being a dragon now. Why? Because I can. And it's not going to make a heck of a lot of sense to you right now. But as a talisman of, well, as something to look at as a noble creature, mythical that it might be, but noble, a noble animal. I know. It sounds stupid. And I know. It kind of is.
No, I don't think that does not sound stupid at all. I get that. I
would much more relate her to, or compare her to, the phoenix. The phoenix is truly majestic. It can heal with a teardrop. It can lift many times its own weight. And when it become, and when it's burned, it's born again new and young and fresh. And when you reach that point in your life where you go from being blinded by religion, and I truly mean that, because when you look at things through religious goggles, it's like having horse blinders on, okay? You really are being blinded. And you go from being blinded to being able to look at the big picture. It's earth-shattering. Some people handle it very well, and they're able to keep it very low key. You know, they don't go through wild experience, emotional roller coaster during the shift or anything like that. You know, they transition so smoothly and so gently along the path that they never hit that. And other people, it's like hitting a brick wall, you know, except plowing through it, not getting stopped by it. It's an amazing experience.
There's that. So there you go. A couple of mythical animals as your talisman for later. So again, I hope you take it with the spirit as intended, so to speak.
Yeah, just take it as a grain of salt. It's just meant to be compliments. That's all.
Oh yeah, I understand. I was just thinking. Oh man, they grabbing animals from Harry Potter.
No, I didn't grab the phoenix from Harry Potter. Believe it or not, I used to be a very avid gamer, especially in the first-person shooter genre. I don't know if you were – well, you're not young enough to remember, but I started off back with, like, Duke 3D and Doom and Heretic and all the old first-person shooters, and I just kept going with them, and eventually I created a avatar called – Jester Phoenix, and the running gag was, "Born from the ashes, life is a joke." So yeah, I have long since dropped that handle a long time ago. I go by something much shorter now for obvious for anime reasons, but whenever I think of somebody who's gone through the process, and you know they've gone through any kind of life changing processes and they've come out a little bit stronger, the first thing that comes to mind is always a phoenix for me.
And for me with dragons, like I said, when I was investigating for the stories that I was looking to write, finding out how disliked, I guess the best way of putting it, mistrust, distrust, unliked dragons were, when all they want to do is just leave me alone. You know, I've got several of your lifetimes worth of knowledge. Just let me do my thing. Just don't piss me off. I don't want to be roasting you anymore. Come on, cut it out. And for me, for you, now it's like, okay, just let me have my way. I'm going to just hang up over here, have a much bigger view of everything than you can down there on the ground, and you know what? Just, nice and simple that way.
Yeah, a big thing, the internet is what I think has helped so much. If it wasn't for the internet, I probably would still be
isolated.
Considered isolated, and I wouldn't know so much and know all the possibilities there is outside of religion and know how much crap religion is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it at previous times on the show. It's amazing to think that at this point, something as ubiquitous as one of these little guys, I've used the expression, 8 times the amount of knowledge that anyone could have ever hoped to have been in the old libraries of Babylon through the magical aether of the air at any point, at any time, day or night, in the privacy of your own home, any time that you want it, you've got the knowledge to look up. Always. And that amount of learning is freaking outstanding. It's amazing to me, really.
Yeah, I mean, I remember... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just agreeing.
I was going to say, I remember when the bulletin board systems came into play.
Oh, yeah.
Now, of course, when I remember them, they weren't in the early, early just beginning. They were already, these are working, let's keep doing this kind of stages where it's still heavily populated by nerds, not, you know, not the jocks or the preppies or any of the other slang terminology for the popular kids. You really still were a nerd, but there were a lot more nerds on the bulletin boards at that time that I started. And the amount of knowledge that started creeping into my head from these systems, which eventually evolved into the internet as we know it, it was amazing. It just, my mind kept, my world view of what I considered to be the world around me just kept expanding and expanding and expanding the more people I talked to online. And atheism is the same way. The more you talk to people around the world, the more that you're going to find that you are not alone, that there are people out there that have had similar experiences as you and other people that have had wildly varying experiences compared to you. Some people that have gone through a relatively easy transition, both personally, business, and even, you know, family-wise, and other people who have had, as the expression goes, one hell of a time with it. And it just, if you use it to keep building bonds with the available atheist community around you, you're going to become stronger. You're going to find that on your bad days, you're going to have support. Okay, you've got Susan's contact. I don't know if you ever post my Twitter stuff. The easiest way to reach me is actually on Twitter, unrenowned_tech. But you got to put the at symbol in the front first. Mm. There's, you know, you've got the Seth. Start listening to the podcasts. You know, find the ones that you like that you know resonate with you. Not that they're telling you a message that you want to hear, but maybe that they're delivering the information in a format that is interesting to you, that keeps your attention.
Yeah, and on that angle, it sounds like you've gotten several of them already. You mentioned the thinking atheist. Thank God I'm atheist, which you would have heard me on a couple of times, probably in over time. If you've hit like episode 95 or later, you would have heard my voice on there as Sprinkle Sprackle Pony. There's a
I remember that.
There's a big story about that. But
there's Ask an Atheist, I think it was, in Austin, Texas. Matt Dillahunty used to be on that. He had a great one.
Wait a minute, wrong one. You're thinking of the Atheist Experience of Austin.
Oh, Atheist Experience. Okay, that's
right. The one that you're naming of Ask an Atheist is out in Washington State, and we had Sam on a couple of weeks ago also. So that was nice.
There's also Atheist on Air, which I believe isn't that a TV program now?
They do webcam, but I don't think so.
I know there was a group of them trying to make a television channel similar to the one in Austin, but making it globally available. I'm trying to remember which one it was. That's why I've been, when you see me look down, I'm actually trying to find it, you know, on my phone, the references to it, and I'm having a hard time trying to find it again.
It's okay. Well, in that case, you know what? Real quickly then, for you, Ashley, and for a couple of others, some of the others that we've listened to and had fun with, if you're not worried about very unsafe for work listening stuff, there is Cognitive Dissonance, who are funny as all get out in a black way. And we had on here, and I don't know if you know them, Noah and Heath and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist for one episode. And they are freaking amazing. As much black humor as what they've got, Noah and Heath are positively amazing wordsmiths. It absolutely blows my mind. So you've got more than enough to keep you occupied now.
Yeah, I like also Barroom Atheists.
There you go.
I like the nonprofits.
Yep.
The Ramen. Free Thought Radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I got. Oh, and I haven't listened to it yet, but my Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity of doing that one yet. I've been trying so hard to be keeping up with Thomas and the Bible, and oh my God, I keep stopping and needing to rewind because my brain just completely zones out sometimes. It's like, oh really? How do you do this? Why are you still doing this? This is torture. Why? Isn't there something in the Geneva Convention about this? Feel bad for him.
Well, you know, there is something else. You could probably find it on Netflix. If you have TV with any kind of on-demand service, you may actually have it in the archives available at either a small price or free to watch, depending on who your service is with. But Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. It's a television series. It was hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's 13 episodes long, just like the Cosmos that was done by Carl Sagan. There are many references and tributes to Carl Sagan in it, and I've watched the ones from Carl Sagan. Mr. Tyson did an excellent job of not only presenting the material, but he did it in a manner of that of a storyteller. He does have eloquence when he talks, and it makes you think. So if you're ever looking for a wonderful visual experience to go along with a great orator, pull up that series, pull it up into the highest quality that your TV or computer monitor can handle, and just sit back and relax. Even if you've already seen it, do it again.
Well, actually, I bought it on Blu-ray the day it came out. So
there you go. Yeah. You're already way ahead of the game.
And Carl Sagan, I really didn't understand evolution until I watched his take on. I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense.
So you're 25 and you watched the Carl Sagan ones?
Yeah, they had when they nice. Were when they. When before Cosmos first came out earlier this year on the Science Channel, they showed all of Carl Sagan's original from the 80s.
Yeah, the only problem with Carl Sagan's was is depending on how you respond to people's tones of voices, and I can be very sensitive to that. And he's really good at putting you to sleep. Well, he was.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
Interesting information, but he just calms and relaxes, think peaceful.
Yeah, and the music's a little more kind of almost psychedelic meditation.
Oh yeah.
Kind of
So for you stoners out there.
There you go. And for what it's worth, believe it or not, my grandfather actually ended up in one of the scenes.
Oh, cool.
I forget which disc, which episode, but I think it might have been number 7. It was when Carl went back to Brooklyn to his old school and was handing out pictures, fresh pictures from NASA of like Jupiter and such. And he goes back at night onto the pier. And I remember this clear as a bell. We went into Brooklyn to go see my grandparents, and he was saying how he was out there in Sheepshead Bay fishing, which he's wont to do. And he said a bunch of people came out over there. They had all their equipment and lights and everything. And they're just like, listen, we're going to give you, I forget how much they said, $100, $20, whatever the hell it was. And said, look, we want to film something over here. You don't have to leave, but we just don't want you to turn around. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just don't turn around. And I get the money. Yeah. Okay. So every once in a while, I can put it on and I can see my grandpa from the back.
That's pretty awesome. That's awesome.
It is. It's really cool just to see him with a Gilligan hat on and his red satin. Exactly.
I thought you were going to tell me that he got a copy of one of the pictures, and I was like, "Wow, that's awesome!"
No, if only. But yeah. it was actually pretty cool to hear about that. And years later, now that I've got I've had the DVDs for a long time now, and every once in a while, it's kind of cool to be able to revisit. One of the people I miss.
He basically got to be an extra, and he got to pay for it too. My son and I got to be extras in a fan-made zombie movie that's going to, once it's done, it's going to be aired at a couple conventions, and then it's going to be sold directly to DVD, and that's kind of it. But when my son grows up, you know, if he ever has kids, I'm going to make sure that he has a copy of whatever comes out on DVD or Blu-ray when it comes out. I'm going to buy him a copy and a copy for myself. So, you know, he ever has kids, and they go, hey, Dad, what's that? And he's like, that's the movie I was in. Really? Yes, watch it and see if you can figure out where.
Yeah, that's assuming that there are still DVD players at that point.
Dude, everything's gone digital. But here's the funny part. I actually am in several of the scenes, but only for, at most, I appear for 2 seconds. And even then, it's only a side profile shot. And it's in the distance in the background. So it's something that my son can turn to and know that not only is he in there, but I'm in there. So when I'm long gone, he'll still have something that he can go, Dad and I did that together. Absolutely. So yeah, those kinds of things, having that, and you know, when his kids watch and go, hey, who's that guy? He was like, well, that was my dad. You know, when he and I were together, we went and did the movie together. Wow, could we do that? And that opens up another possibility for him and any kids he may have. So we're all interconnected with the things that we do, and then it carries on into the other generations after that. And that's something that Cosmos, both the Carl Sagan version, orated, and then the Cosmos, the Space Time Odyssey, the current iteration. Incarnation. Yeah, incarnation. I was going to say iteration, but you're more appropriate in that respect. An incarnation. They both come across with that. Everything that we do now affects later. And when you're in a religious sense, the later that they think of is after death.
Yep.
And that's it. That's all they care about is what happens after they die to themselves. That's really greedy in my respect, in my mindset. Whereas the atheist mentality is the things that happen after death are the things that I've affected, whether directly or indirectly in my life, and they're going to affect my loved ones that survive me. That's the difference in mindset.
So work on it all now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just about to wrap things up over here, because we are now officially past our hour and a half mark. So thank you all for hanging out with us. Ashley, I'm going to get you a couple of moments to say your goodnight also, but I want you to think about for a second something that you can close with, which I'd love to hear what you would like your lasting image to be. So think about that for just a couple of seconds. Unrenowned Tech, of course, thank you for your time and surviving through first off being awake and no technical problems this evening. Holy crap.
I don't know what to tell you. It was an interest. I have my son for the weekend, so a lot of things were going right. I found out some things not so right, but life, it goes on, and take it one day at a time. So happy to be here, Ashley. Pleasure to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
I know you're being nice about that. self-depreciating humor. It's my thing. Anyway, I hope you continue to keep contact with those around you, giving and receiving support as it's needed, and just have fun. Have a good life, you know. Just remember, whenever you have a curveball, just remember, it's really good thing that life isn't fair, because if it was, oh crap, what did we do to deserve some of these things, you know?
Yeah.
That's my take. And by the way, cocoa comes from plants, therefore chocolate is a salad.
I've never thought of it that way.
Well, that's before all the sugar that's put in to make it really
sugar. Sugar comes from plants, too. Therefore, chocolate is a salad.
Brilliant. All right. And, of course, Ashley.
Logical leaps for the win.
Very much so. Ashley, thank you very, very kindly for gracing us tonight and for being brave enough to even ask for your voice to be heard. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, I am so grateful that you invited me. I don't get to talk to that many people, and when you invited me, it just reassured that there is good people and they want to change things and make the world a better place.
Absolutely. And what would you like to leave behind at this point? What would you like to be known for?
Well,
you mean after death or after the show?
Well, you know what? We'll go with just after the show. Because I, personally, I mean, I think she's a nice lady. I don't think that I really want to think of her as, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Unalive?
Well, after the show, I hope somebody will hear this and think, wow, she sounds just like me and what I'm going through, and I need to hold on, and maybe I can someday voice how I feel and get out of the shackles of religion and be who I am and live life to how I see fit and not have to worry about anybody else. And I'm sorry, I'm bad with words.
No.
Yeah, actually, right. Really, you know, how often do you go on radio or audio or video shows? How many have you been on since Cash and ours?
That's it.
Then you're doing excellent.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Sujin invites you back.
Oh, I love that. This is I like this.
As a matter of fact, I had already said that anytime that Ashley would like to come on, if there's a topic that interests her, there will always be a seat available. So I will make sure that I direct message you on a tweet every once in a while, let you know what's coming up, what we're going to be talking about, so that if there is a time where a topic catches your interest, or if you just have had an absolute crap week and you want to talk through, you want to rail about something, or worse yet, if somebody has said, you know, I was talking to Amish Wolverine this week, you can come on and you can say, oh, damn it, why? It's a running joke about Amish Wolverine. Do you know about Amish Wolverine? I bet you don't.
No.
Okay.
Amish Come on, Wolverine. You can get another one in there. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Amish Wolverine, that's three.
That's five.
Sure, we'll go with that. When You remember the debate that happened between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy?
Yes.
Okay. I was live tweeting back and forth with Noah from The Scathing Atheist about it while watching it, most of it live, at least. I missed the first 15 minutes or so. And they came up with a really interesting idea. Do you remember what Ken Ham actually looks like?
Yes.
Okay. He had made a mention that doesn't Ken Ham look like the missing link as an Amish version of Wolverine, just in his face.
Yes, 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 I can totally see that.
So this has now become a challenge every show since that had come up to sneak in a reference to Amish Wolverine. Is that now six, by the way, Tech, officially?
Seven.
Sure. That we sneak it in at least once an episode. Somebody has to do it sometime or other before we get done. So you now know the inside joke.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
So we have Noah to thank for that one. Meantime, it is about that time. We have to get out of here because apparently there is something wrong with my cup. It is empty. So I have to fix this in a couple moments. And really, you guys don't need to be around for that. Yeah, there's still some left.
Oh, I just want to point this one out.
What?
Apparently, Left Behind, the movie with Nicolas Cage, the remake of the old one, it's stagnating at a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
Wow, you have got to be really below it to get that low a rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Damn.
Okay, do me a favor, really quick, pull up Cool World on Rotten Tomatoes. Tell me
really?
What Cool World got.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm quite serious. Pull that up. Because I want to know. Cool World, I bought Cool World, and it was one of the worst $10 I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah, Heavy Metal was better material than Cool World was for the reasons why we got them.
Yeah, anyway, so...
All right, hold on, I'm pulling it up.
Oh, God. Cool World was so bad. Cool World was oh so bad.
It had an interesting premise, but it was just delivered it
see
so
now,
horribly.
God damn it.
Dude, wow.
You're stalling. What? Cool World got what?
4%. It got twice the rating. It's twice as good as Left Behind is.
Wait a second.
Cool World's at 4%. Left Behind is worse than Cool World in the Rotten Tomatoes rating world.
Ashley, have you ever seen Cool World?
Me? No. I've actually watched it three times.
No, Ashley, did you?
No, and I'm pretty good with movies, and I've never heard that.
Okay, you
and
are
Brad
fairly you're fairly familiar with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
And you know how every once in a while there will be somewhat parallel storylines that Hollywood comes up with, and somebody comes up with the an airplane disaster movie, and somebody says, "Hey, we need a heavy-duty black dude to get rid of snakes on an airplane." Yeah, we'll do that then. This Who Framed Roger Rabbit was like the good version of Cool World. Cool World was bad. What did Who Framed Roger Rabbit get? Please tell me you're pulling that up right now. Oh my God, Bogey is saying that he's planning on seeing the movie. Oh Jesus, really? Really? Seriously?
By the way, the original Left Behind movie in 2001 actually had a score of 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. So the remake did worse than the original.
Oh my God. Oh wow. I don't even need to be drunk to be laughing this hard on this one. Holy crap.
Okay, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, surprisingly, on the tomato meter, got 98%. I mean, it was funny. You have to admit. You could watch it with your family. It could be adults watching. It could be just, the adults and the kids. It was that kind of a movie. And it was hilarious in many aspects.
And Cool World was absolutely not.
Yeah, it
was bad.
Cool World had some interesting moments.
Interesting is the way to describe an LSD trip. Who are you kidding?
But the problem was is that they flopped in the delivery. It had an interesting idea, and they just... It could be remade to be a very good, successful movie.
Yeah, so but could Star Trek reboot.
But the problem is that when they first did it, they couldn't deliver on what they were trying to promise.
Oh, God. Ashley, this is the problem with stuff like this. We have seen things you don't need to.
Yeah, look at this. Noah with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe got a 77% and Left Behind got 2%.
Well, I liked Noah.
I happen to like Russell Crowe. I like to see him fight because he looks like a barbarian half the time. And my dwarf is a barbarian.
Well, I love Russell Crowe, but I really liked Noah. I think it had some interesting questions towards the end, like him, like even his family questioning, you know, if the creator is he really a good creator and questioning Noah. I thought it was like an atheist Noah take on it. I thought it was interesting.
Well, maybe I'll get the opportunity of seeing it sometime. I haven't yet. I've debated buying, but maybe we'll see. Meantime, we really do have to get out of here because this is the problem with getting to like this time of the night. We start making associations that we really, really shouldn't be doing this time of night.
I want to do a quick shout out to somebody in New York, Red Hook, New York. A Red Hook police sergeant. Thought he was pulling over a speeder. Instead, it turned out to be a frantic father trying to get help for his son. His 22-month-old child was having a medical emergency, and the officer took quick action that saved the little boy's life. Okay? The little boy, also named Matthew, was suffering a seizure. Okay? The father grabbed the limp body of the little boy and jumped into his car, speeding through the county until the police officer pulled him over, right? The father's yelling, he's not breathing, I think he's dead. The police officer, okay, drove to the hospital with the father in the back seat of the SUV police cruiser, And the police officer, while driving the car to the hospital, also performed CPR on the child's body at the same time. So, yeah, you've got a guy doing the compressions with one hand, driving with the other, with the lights on, to the hospital. Now, that's a father, or that's a police officer doing that, okay? And nowhere in the article does it say anything like, thank God, bless God, whatever. There's a lot of thank the police officer, you know, the heroic efforts of the officer and everything else. And I just wanted to say that it's nice to see that somebody's actually getting credit for doing something that is worthy of being acknowledged, you know, that they're trying to save lives. They're doing the best that they can. In this case, it's a little bit more extraordinary than what we would see of somebody else, and actually receiving the credit for it, rather than being dismissed as, oh, thank God, you know. It's like, no, thank the officer. Well, the officer definitely got the thanks. So it's really cool.
Good on him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure officially he's probably also going to get a don't take your hands off the wheel. Again, let the EMT.
You might have to go back to traffic driving school.
But at the same time, as the son of a cop, beat cop for 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one.
The other way. Couldn't have done it any other way. So, dude, where'd you say it was again? Red Hook.
Yeah.
Okay. So, whoever you are out there, nameless, faceless officer,
Matthew.
Matthew. Good on you, man.
Same name as the boy.
Well done. Meantime, as always, everybody, thank you for hanging out with us for the 2 hours that we've been on, which I know the last couple of shows have been 2 hours, and I apologize for that. Things happen. We know this is not a sexy vlogcast, but we also do recognize...
My beard is awesome.
We do also recognize that there are a lot of topics and a lot of things that we try to talk about that are important to somebody. And that's the important part. So for all of you who made it to the very end, of course, thank you very much. If you would like to leave comments, suggestions, or just to send information my way, please, by all means, send an email over to me as shujintribble@gmail.com. And please put in the subject line, holy crap, so I know it's about this. If you're interested in being on as a panelist, even to ask a question or something for one of our upcoming Power of 10 episodes, please send the email over to me so I can put you into the hopper and we can make sure that you are aware for it before it comes up. And if you'd like to leave a voicemail message or send a text message, use the phone number that you see on the screen right here. Again, the number is 959-HCTV. 554. We'll see you all again in another week, which is going to put us at October 12th. We will be on, assuming that nothing has changed. At the moment, I do not have a proper topic set up, but of course, as always, something will end up coming. We'll see what happens with that. We'll see you soon, of course, everyone. As always, I say my goodnights for all of you, and I say my goodnights for my lady, too. Because 9.5 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. And of course, as always, for all of you, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the next time we get together, everyone, as always, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.